Today is Tuesday, July 20th. What to know about new guidance from pediatricians about keeping kids safe when they go back to school this fall. Also, another rioter sentenced for his role in the Capitol invasion, why his case could influence hundreds of others. Plus, a historic launch that's set to bring many firsts into space, which Olympic athletes from Team USA now have COVID-19, and how a National Hockey League player is breaking barriers. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy, all the day's news in about 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. You ready? Let's do this. Pediatricians now say all kids older than 2 should wear masks when they return to school in the fall, and that's whether they're vaccinated or not. The American Academy of Pediatrics also recommended masks for all teachers and staff. That goes a step further than the CDC, who said it was okay for vaccinated people to go maskless, but the AAP says masking is still so important since a good portion of kids still aren't eligible for vaccines. Remember, the shots are only available to children 12 and up here in the U.S., and even then, it will be tough for schools to keep track of everyone's vaccination status. No matter what, the group says it strongly recommends in-person learning with as many health precautions as possible. That means more COVID-19 testing and mental health resources, too. When it comes to colleges, hundreds are making vaccines mandatory for students returning to campus. Some students at Indiana University sued over the requirement, saying the school is taking away their power to make their own choices about their bodies. But this week, a federal judge sided with the university instead. He said IU is acting reasonably to protect public health. But this is just one of several lawsuits against schools around the country with vaccine mandates. Others are still awaiting rulings. Stay tuned. For the first time, the U.S. government and dozens of key allies are formally blaming China for cyber attacks around the world. They say China is responsible for several attacks, including one earlier this year that breached Microsoft email systems. It compromised more than 100,000 servers that are used by some of the world's largest companies, governments, and military contractors. The U.S., the European Union, and all NATO members condemn China for working with criminal hacker groups involved in ransomware attacks, too. But the U.S. and allies stop short of actually punishing China for its actions. Instead, they're detailing more than 50 different techniques these Chinese government-sponsored hackers tend to use. And they have recommendations for businesses and organizations to avoid becoming victims. In response, Chinese officials are calling the accusations groundless. A new leader is now about to take over in Haiti. It's the man the late President Jovenel Moïse wanted in charge. Moïse named Ariel Henry the prime minister just about a day before the president was assassinated. But Henry hadn't been sworn in yet when Moïse was killed. So since Moïse's death, the country has been run by the previous prime minister, Claude Joseph, who had the backing of the police and the military. Well, Joseph agreed to step down yesterday. It was all part of a broad agreement the U.S. and other world powers encouraged to hopefully bring some stability to the country. Moïse is set to be laid to rest with a state funeral this Friday. Then, presidential elections are set to happen in about 4 months. Meanwhile, investigators are still trying to get to the bottom of Moïse's assassination. Authorities have named more than 30 people as suspects, including Haitian politicians, Miami businessmen, and retired Colombian soldiers. The first Capitol rioter to be convicted of a felony was sentenced to 8 months in prison. It was a closely watched case that could influence how hundreds of other rioters charged with the same felony are punished. The Florida man named Paul Hodgkins pleaded guilty to storming the Capitol in hopes of stopping Congress from certifying President Biden's win. It was his intention that made his case a felony. It sets him apart from other people who just walked into the building. Hodgkins actually made it onto the Senate floor, carrying rope, protective goggles, and latex gloves. Federal prosecutors say that toolkit showed he came to the riot ready for violence. But again, this is just one of hundreds of other felony cases that will come before the courts. By the way, the Capitol Police Department has a new leader as of this week. The AP cited sources who say Thomas Manger got the job as police chief after an extensive search. He most recently served 15 years as chief in Montgomery County, Maryland. Before that, he led the Fairfax, Virginia Police Department. Remember, the last chief was forced out a day after the Capitol riot. It's not clear yet when Manger will take the reins, but when he does, he'll have a lot of work ahead of him, since officials are still struggling to figure out the best way to secure the Capitol. The police department has asked for more funding for more officers and better riot gear, among other things. To be continued. Much more news ahead, but first, a word about our sponsor, BetterHelp. Here's your main host, Erica Mandy.
Whether you're dealing with parenting for the first time, like I am, or you're feeling anxious, lonely, having trouble sleeping, or you're stressed about your job, or maybe you simply are just not as happy as you know you could be, then check out BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You'll never have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room because it's all through a safe and private online environment. It's even more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. So BetterHelp makes professional counseling more accessible and convenient. And of course, it's always confidential. You can start communicating in less than 24 hours. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, go to BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy.
Today, the world's richest person is flying to the edge of space in a flight that's been decades in the making. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos created his aerospace company Blue Origin back in 2000. And Blue Origin has been testing prototypes of its new Shepard rocket and capsule for more than 10 years. It ran 15 successful test flights without anyone on board. And now it's ready for its first human spaceflight. Bezos will be on board himself, along with his brother Mark and the soon-to-be oldest and youngest astronauts. The oldest will be 82-year-old Wally Funk, who has always dreamed of becoming an astronaut, but was denied the job in the 1960s because she's a woman. The final crew member is 18-year-old Oliver Damon. Damon is not only going to be the youngest person to ever reach space, he's also the first paying client to board a commercial spacecraft. He paid for a seat in an auction, but Blue Origin didn't say how much his final bid was. The four crew members have been doing some training for the last couple days, and this morning, they launched from a secluded area in West Texas. The whole flight will only last about 10 to 12 minutes. Liftoff is scheduled for 8 a.m. Central Time today. This all comes just 9 days after another historic spaceflight from Virgin Galactic. That company's CEO, Richard Branson, was also on board. Both Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin plan to take more paying customers to the edge of space next year. It seems Wall Street investors are second-guessing the big economic comeback as the number of new COVID-19 cases is rising around the world. The Dow fell more than 2% in its worst day since October. That was the biggest decline so far this year. Also, the S&P 500 was down 1.6% in its biggest downturn since May. And the NASDAQ also closed more than a percentage point lower than last week. Travel industry stocks took some of the biggest hits. But even after this latest downturn, the Dow and S&P 500 are still up a lot from last year. We're talking 90% higher than the big low in March of 2020, when so many businesses were forced to shut down. It's not expected to get that bad again anytime soon. One of the biggest sponsors of the Tokyo Olympics decided to limit its role in this year's games. Toyota won't be running any Olympic-related commercials in Japan, even though it still is here in the U.S. And no Toyota executives plan to attend the opening ceremony on Friday. This comes as backlash over the games is growing in Japan. A new local media poll found 2/3 of Japanese people doubt Olympic organizers can keep the games safe during the pandemic. And there have been local protests over the International Olympic Committee's decision to hold the games there, even as COVID-19 cases are rising. More American athletes have also tested positive in recent days. Women's basketball player Katie Lou Samuelson came down with COVID-19 while training in Las Vegas, so she won't be going to Tokyo or competing with Team USA like she planned. Also, an alternate on the U.S. women's gymnastics team, Kara Aker, tested positive. She was already in Japan and is now in isolation before she can fly back to the U.S. A Nashville Predators prospect just became the first active hockey player under NHL contract to come out as gay. 19-year-old Luke Prokop was just drafted to the Nashville Predators last fall, and yesterday he posted an announcement on Instagram to tell the world he's gay. Prokop says he hopes his example shows that LGBTQ people are welcome in the hockey community, and so far he's been getting a lot of support and praise from his team and from the league. The Predators put out a statement saying it's, quote, proud of Luke for the courage he is displaying. This week, millions of Muslims around the world are celebrating Eid al-Adha. It's one of Islam's biggest holidays that's also known as the Festival of Sacrifice. It also marks the end of Hajj, which is the yearly Muslim pilgrimage to visit the holy city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia. But this year, for the second year in a row, Saudi Arabia isn't letting foreign visitors in because of the pandemic. So instead of having millions of Muslims go on the journey like usual, there will be a maximum of 60,000 vaccinated people from Saudi Arabia only. Still, people will be celebrating from wherever they are for the next few days. They will gather for prayers, big feasts, gifts, and family time. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, here's Erica again with more about our sponsor, Rothy's.
Okay, let's start with the research. Rothy's surveyed thousands of customers, and the number one word used to describe their shoes is comfy. And yes, I would agree. Rothy's are stylish, sustainable, and actually comfortable. I used to dread wearing shoes for the first time, but with Rothy's, you never have to break them in. Instead, Rothy's shoes are comfortable and easy to wear right out of the box. I remember getting my first pair of Rothy's and being super impressed. And of course, years later, I'm still wearing them. No wonder Pop Sugar named Rothy's one of the, quote, most comfortable and cute flats you'll never tire of wearing. And just like my shoes, Rothy's newly launched men's shoes have been tested to make sure they have the perfect fit wash after wash. So to help you welcome summer in style, Rothy's is doing something special. They give us the chance to share a rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. So now through August 1st, 2021, you can get $20 off your first purchase of $100 or more at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. You don't want to miss this. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy to find your new favorites today.
Now back to Trivia Tuesday. In honor of the Olympics starting up this week, today's trivia question is, which medal makes up most of an Olympic gold medal? Find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along and find out the answer in our Instagram stories. As for last week's trivia question, what is the hottest planet in the solar system? The answer is Venus. If you guessed Mercury, you weren't too far off. That's actually the second hottest planet, and that answer seems to make sense, since Mercury is closest to the sun, and it's much smaller than Venus. However, Venus has a dense atmosphere that traps heat, and temperatures on the planet can reach 880 degrees Fahrenheit. That's more than hot enough to melt lead, and spacecraft have only ever survived a few hours on Venus before getting destroyed. A couple other fun facts about Venus. There are more volcanoes on it than any other planet in the solar system. Astronomers know of more than 1,600 of them so far. Also, it rotates very slowly, so one day on Venus lasts 243 Earth days. All right, thank you for turning to The Newsworthy to get your news each day. As always, we'll be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.